Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
I've recently had a raised garden box delivered to our garden, so the timing of today's podcast, all about raised bed gardening, is perfect. I'm hoping I've chosen the right materials for what I plan to do with the box, so I'm going to ask Keith about that shortly. I'd also like his advice on the best soil, compost, and mulch to use in my raised garden. So let's find out. Keith.
Yes.
Raised garden beds are such a great idea for so many reasons. I know you agree because you have a few of them in your garden. How many have you got?
Eight.
For your veggies.
Yep, straight in the kikuyu lawn.
Straight on top.
Over the top, yeah.
So for those handy DIY people out there, not me, and I don't know if you built yours, did you?
I put them together, yeah.
Oh.
They all came prefabbed, and I just followed the instructions, and it was just like putting Lego together. It was fantastic.
Oh, you would have loved that.
I loved it. It was fun. The worst part was what you're going to experience very shortly.
Oh, don't what?
Filling the bloody things.
Oh, don't. It'll be fun. Okay, so building a raised box wouldn't be difficult, and the choices of material are large too, depending on what the box will be used for.
Exactly.
So what sort of materials would you suggest using if you're going to build your own raised garden bed?
Well, I'm lucky enough and fortunate enough to have what I consider to be the Rolls-Royce
of raised
beds. All my beds are made by a company called Modbox,
yes,
which is owned by Marco Beretta.
Yes.
And I've known Marco for many years and worked on lots of projects with him. So the beauty about what Marco puts together is based on any design that I can come up with. All right, so
Meaning he'll change the size, he'll change the shape, the size, everything, considering
exactly
what you've
designed. So they have become so popular, raised beds, and
they are very modern, they're trendy now, aren't they?
They are, and the majority of the designs that I do has got raised beds in them.
Why are they the trendy thing? What is it about them that is so popular, do you think?
Well, they're above the ground, so it makes it fabulous for old people like me to be able to go out there and just sit my bum on the side, because they've got nice little wide sides. So you can sit on the side, you can then harvest or sow or whatever else. Mm. They're just so easy to work with. Mm. You're not bending over, you know, so your back doesn't come into play.
Yeah. Yes.
All that sort of stuff. Yeah. So it's just the sheer convenience of the raised beds.
I wonder why it took so long for us to think of that. But anyway, they're fantastic now and we're enjoying them, and I'm about to enjoy mine. Also, they're great for people renting, because you can pick them up and take them away with you.
After you empty them.
You've got to empty the soil first.
Good luck with that
one. Okay, so that was so the materials that you – what are the materials of your raised beds?
All right, so what I've used is a particular product that Marco has done so much research on. So he's an engineer.
Yes.
And he's now making these mod boxes for a living. So he's had a look at all the materials that are available, and he has come up with one particular material. It's a timber. It's a natural product. It's called Calitris. And it is an Australian native tree that it's from, grown up in northern New South Wales into Queensland. And it's fully sustainable. So it's a fully sustainable industry that's now being created up there. The Calitris is full of oil.
Yeah.
So termites won't touch it.
Yeah, right. So a bit long-lasting.
Long-lasting. It won't rot in the ground or anything else like that.
So can you repeat again what sort of material it is?
It's called Calitris.
Calitris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Australian native cypress pine.
Cypress pine.
Not the big rubbishy dark green cypress trees, not from that, which would rot in 2 minutes.
Okay.
This is heavy, dense material.
Okay.
Just brilliant.
So for those people who maybe, you said you've got the Rolls-Royce, of materials. What are the options as far as those people who can't afford the Rolls-Royce, perhaps? Or don't, what do you Or who maybe shorter term, because the box that I've got, it depends what you're using it for
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
But I think it's probably, it could be treated pine.
Well, it is.
Is it going to last?
Well, it will, because I've had a look at yours, and yours is actually lined. So you're keeping the soil off the wood, because that's what rots timber round quickly is where you got contact between soil and the wood.
Yes.
So there was the small veggie company was started up in Melbourne many years ago
by two fellas. Yep.
And they used old apple crates.
Yep.
So they lined the apple crates with plastic, and then they put in no-dig methods of filling up those boxes. So they would put a layer of pea straw and then a little bit of compost and then a layer of lucerne and a bit of compost and then a layer of pea straw again or straw of some sort or even sugar cane, whatever and then a layer with compost and build that up in a layering method right
is
up to the
top. Is that called the lasagna method?
It is the lasagna method. So by the time and it was actually a method that was used by an elderly woman in New South Wales who had cancer and she used an old bed frame.
Yep.
So the old bed frame with the wire frame and simply put this layering method on top of that and grew straight into that.
Yeah.
So that was the first raised bed basically that became.
So you've mentioned all these different types of straw and compost.
And then the very last layer is a thick layer of compost and that's where all the plants are planted into.
Where's the soil?
There's no soil.
It's just compost and straw.
It is just all compostable.
Wow. That's
and you just
fantastic.
Keep on adding,
that's
adding
the
no to
dig.
The top.
That's called the no-dig method. Yep. That's right, okay.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, so there's lots of things that you can use, but you know it's keeping the soil off the actual timber that's the most important thing, and that's where you can then start to get into a few little problems.
Yes, because sorry to interrupt for a second again. Corrugated iron. I've seen things made out of different things like corrugated iron. Things like are they. Is that a good idea?
It's not one that I would ever recommend.
No, because it doesn't breathe or doesn't...
No.
What is it about? It gets hot.
It gets incredibly hot. Yeah. So it's fine when the new seedlings go into that. The roots go straight out to where the warmth is, but then you get a few hot days and that tin warms up so hot that it burns those roots.
Those roots at the ends of the roots,
So corrugated iron is not one that I would be very happy with.
Okay.
And then, of course, you've got timbers such as treated pine. Mm. Now, treated pine, today's treated pine, they've actually got a kindergarten blend or a preschool blend now, which means the toxins are no longer used in those that they used. They used to have incredible, you know, toxic materials that went into that treated timber that would last for, you know, years.
Arsenic?
Arsenic was one of the main ones.
Yes.
So they've found other alternatives with that.
Yep.
But the problem with treated pine is it still has a problem of leaching out chemicals.
Right.
And if someone is building raised bed with treated pine, where they've made a cut, for instance, that cut needs to be treated because it will just rot out in no time flat.
Okay, so treated mean it needs to be stained or painted?
It needs to be painted or sealed or something else.
Which mine is, thank you very much. Thank
God. And then, of course, you've got the cheap alternative of putting in a builder's grade plastic, that black plastic.
Mm.
Now, the problem with that is that it is full of chemicals and things too that will leach into the soil.
Can I just stop you there? Because that doesn't matter. It depends on what you're using that garden
bed
for. So if we're using it for vegetables, then you would not want to use the builder's grade plastic. But if you're using it for a flower garden, which I am, that's okay, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, so back to the plastic. What sort of plastic do you need for the vegetable garden?
All right, so we go back to our friend Marco Barreto of Modbox. Mm. All his beds are also lined.
Yes.
They're lined for a couple of reasons. Mm. But he uses food-grade plastic, and it is stamped all over that plastic liner when it comes, food-grade plastic. So there are no leachates in that can get into the soil, get into the vegetables or the roots of the plants or anything else.
Okay, fantastic. All very right. important thing. Okay, so for those people like me who would prefer to purchase a ready-made box, they're not hard to find. I just purchased mine through Facebook Marketplace, actually, and it wasn't expensive. It was manageable as far as my bank balance is concerned. Now, it is made of treated pine, as we said, which I think is going to be fine for my flower garden. So, again, your choice and price would be dependent on what you plan to do with the box. Your climate also and how long you envisage it lasting for, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So that's another very, very good point. If you're in your forever home, then you've got lots of other, you know, things to think about. Now, my son and my daughter-in-law, their property, I designed an area where that we had raised beds to go in. And they had, luckily they had access to secondhand pressed red bricks.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Mm. None of them are bricklayers or anything else, but those beds that they've created are absolutely sensational. And it's just a single brick up about 7 or 8 courses high. It's a raised bed, a rectangular raised bed.
All made of bricks.
All made out of bricks, wow. All mortared up and everything else. And they just Googled and saw how, you know, a bricklayer would do things with a string line, with good tools, with a good mortar, and built their raised beds. Now, those raised beds will be there forever.
Yes.
They're not going to break down.
And so bricks are fine?
Bricks are fine because there's no nasties that can leach out of a brick that's gone through a kiln.
Okay. And you would line?
Yeah.
Put the liner in?
But I've also designed garden beds where we've used the walls as concrete, so form concrete beds.
Okay.
Once again, you can seal those on the inside if you're worried about calcium or anything else leaching out of those.
Concrete.
But generally, that's not a problem.
Okay.
So there's another great one.
Okay.
I've seen people use red gum sleepers to create these beds.
Mm.
Now, the inherent problem with a red gum sleeper is that they're rough. They've got knots in them.
Mm.
Whether you get them brand new or secondhand, When they're as a raised bed, when you're watering, the water soaks into the red gum. There's nothing nasty in the red gum, but that then becomes something that termites absolutely adore.
Yeah.
Is that wet timber as a bed? So you can create lots of problems with lots of vermin and other bits and pieces starting to live
into that environment, into the wood, and also getting into the plant, into the soil.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is all good information. I was just going to mention that wheels would be a good addition too.
Okay.
Once you've decided what you're building and what's...
If you can get wheels on it that you can drag around.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at a lot of weight in one of those raised beds.
But if it's on paving and and depending on your garden and you want to be able to move it around with the sun for your vegetables, that could be a good idea.
Yep.
Yeah, but not having a very heavy one.
No. But there's one product that I've actually seen people use to create raised beds because they cost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's old car tires.
Ew.
All right, so they put a car tire on the ground and they fill it with soil or whatever, and they put another one on top of that and fill it up and up and up and up they go. And, of course, that would be the last thing that anyone with a brain would actually ever use for growing things.
I'm not enjoying the look of that, really. Yeah.
Because car tires contain some of the most carcinogenic materials you ever come across, things like cadmium, mercury and lead.
Mm-mm.
So you've got all that going into your food supply. So never, ever use raised beds made out of car tires.
No, okay, well, remember that.
That's a horrible one.
Don't like the look of it anyway, so that's fine. Okay, I think we've come to the important subject of soil now. What should I, with my flower bed, what should I fill my bed with?
All right, you can either do the lasagna method, which is a nice, easy way of doing it, but you're going to be using yours more as a flower bed.
Definitely.
So, once again, I'd be looking for a quality compost. And for those people that listen to our podcast that live here in Victoria,
they've heard us talk about
this guy so often, and
they're
here
probably
he is.
Sick of it.
Hey?
But he's pretty good. His name is, yes?
Vince.
Yes, and he comes from
Clyde Compost.
That's right.
He has produced the only compost that I've ever come across where the pH is neutral, so it's 7.
Yes.
Not a 9 or a 10 as I have found with my own bed that I brought in organic compost, you know, for vegetable gardens. It's been rubbish.
Okay.
But lots of work to fix that.
Okay, so I will go to Clyde Compost and get a bit of a soil compost mix. Would you suggest
that? Exactly, a vegetable garden mix. And then once you've got that...
A vegetable garden mix?
Yeah, a veggie garden mix.
Okay, still fine.
It'll be fine for your flowers.
Thank you.
And then, of course, with every sowing you do, the next lot of sowing, before you put those in, you add some more compost. Once again, Clyde Compost has compost in bags.
Yes.
And you'd simply spread a layer of that over the top. Put your seedlings in there, your flowers, and away you go.
Okay.
And keep on continually do that.
Just keep topping up with compost.
Keep topping up the goodness.
As we do all the time anyway. All right. Well, now, as I'm not building a veggie garden, I will go with Clyde. But if you are building a veggie garden, what sort of soil?
Once again,
the same.
It's the same, exactly.
Oh, okay,
the same.
Just the same. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say a slightly different mix.
No. As long as it's full of organic matter, and for vegetable beds, all I do is after I've had a crop that's come out of it, I check the pH, adjust that, and then I put in maybe my beds are about 1.2 meters wide by 2.4, and onto the top of that, I would spread 2 to 3 bags of Clyde composts over that. And mix it all in, and I get a fabulous little rotary hoe that does all that.
Yes, yes.
And then tamper that down, and then over the top of that goes our favourite mulch, which is who?
Who flung dung? Sorry, I'm thinking, what? Who flung dung? Bit of biochar?
And some biochar, or even some zeolite, and then our Monash rock dust. Get that into it, and you're going to have the best.
Soil will be laughing, and our plants will be laughing. Now, last thing, what would you suggest regarding irrigation of these boxes? I'll probably just water mine with a hose, I suppose. Yes. What would you suggest, though? What do you do with your boxes down at your house?
I've got this wonderful, wonderful watering method. It's called Leslie. Leslie with a hose and a wand on the end, and she puts out just enough water to make the plants happy and me happy.
She's a fairy.
She's a
godmother. She's a gorgeous girl.
She's
a gorgeous girl. That's right. We know that. You're wonderful, Leslie.
So I don't. You could put in a drip system if you want to, but the problem with that is that you need to lift it when you're putting seedlings in, because it's buried, and you put a fork through it. You've got a real problem.
Yep.
Or if you've got overhead watering with an overhead sprinkler, the problem you've got then is that as the plants grow up, it's going to be hitting the foliage and not getting to where the roots are.
Yeah, okay.
So I always say water with a wand.
Gosh, okay. I'll remember that. Don't forget that, listeners. I do tend to put my sprinkler on my tomatoes sometimes. So, probably get blossom end rot or something. No. Yeah. then that leaves us. I think that leads me to now choose my plants. That's the best bit.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to ask you how to do that because I know how to do that. And I know how to check my botanical name now.
Good girl.
Oh, I've learning so much. That's the best bit. Thank you very much, Keith.
It's a pleasure.
Another great podcast, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au. And happy gardening.